Amen. I want to thank you for making Martha and I feel so welcome. We have just felt right at home here, and I have just enjoyed meeting and talking to you. I tell you, I really like the boys and girls and the young people. I've enjoyed talking. You adults are okay. You know, you're okay. But I just appreciate. I see the jury's back in session here. So I don't know how the verdict's going to come out here. I just feel like this is the jury over here. So I asked them earlier today if this was a jury. So, okay. I'll be watching your deliberation and everything tonight. So there you go. I appreciate the teens. I really do. I watched some of them sing in the choir. I really did. And when people sing, I just don't listen. I watch. You know what I'm saying? And you see in the countenance. I think they're the real deal. I just am excited about the young people here. And like I said, you grown-ups are okay. You're okay. And I got to talk to you, but I'm just excited about young people that love the Lord. And this is a great church. This is a good thing going here. If I lived in Shelby, this is where I'd come. It is. I'd be right here, even though some of you are here, some characters, but that's okay. But the music has been so Christ-honoring. And just blessed my soul tonight. Really did. I almost wanted to start singing, but then I knew that would mess things up. So there you go. But thank... Who said that? As I said, I really appreciate the children, young people. That was not a child or a young person. Well, thank the Lord. And again, I just want to thank you for your kindness to us and just opening yourself to us and just sharing your heart. And it's been good to talk to many of you before the services, after the services, and thank the Lord for you. Really do. And God's got great things in store for the church here. I really believe that. Got a good thing going here. And this is exciting. It really is. Really good spirit. And good. Everything is in line for God to do great things. All right, let's take God's word and go to Genesis chapter 26. I'm in Genesis and today. And there's a theme, and maybe you have picked up on that. I don't know. But there's a theme running throughout the day. We're in Genesis chapter 26, please. I'd like to begin the reading tonight with verse 13, Genesis 26 and verse 13. This morning we talked about Abraham. Tonight we'll look at Isaac. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. For he had possession of flocks and possession of herds and great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham, his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, Go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham, his father. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And the herdmen in Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, The water's ours. And he called the name of that well Esek, because they strove with him. And they digged another well and strove for that also. And he called the name of that Setnah. And he removed from thence and digged another well, and for that they strove not, and he called the name of that Raboth. And he said, For now the Lord hath made room for us, and he shall be fruitful in the land. And he went up from there thence to Beersheba, and the Lord appeared unto him the same night, and said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and will bless thee, and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And he builded an altar there, and called upon the name of the Lord, and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants dig a well. I don't know about you, but there's a yearning in my heart to see real revival. Now I know many of you serve the Lord in evangelism, and I know that's your heartbeat. And I'm not just talking about a meeting, I'm talking about a movement of God across our nation. We need that. Desperately. Desperately we need that. With each passing hour, the need is more critical. It's been a long time since we've had a region or nationwide revival in America. And that's really the need. And you know where revival starts? It starts with God's people. It starts with God's people. And I think sometimes we think revival is all these people out here getting saved and getting right. That's a result of revival. When God's people are revived, it will change society. It will change the culture. But the need of the hour, I think, is with revival among God's people. And part of the problem, I think, with God's people is they don't know or realize what we need. And revival many times starts when God's people have a hunger and a thirst for that, and they begin to cry out for that, and they begin to seek that. And I don't think we're there yet. I don't think we're there yet. And thirsty for God to do something. I look at Isaac and what happened with these wells, and I see where we are among God's people, even among our fundamental churches. And I want to talk to you about revival tonight. Revival the individual, but also revival of the local church. Revival in the local church. So let's pray together. Could we do that? Father, I know that you want to pour out your blessing upon your people. I believe you're waiting for your people to cry out for you to do that. I believe that you want your people to turn with their hearts and their voices towards you. I pray that you put upon us a desire to see you do something great in our nation. We've been here before in our nation, and you have brought great movements, and Lord, we pray for that again. But stir hearts tonight. The Spirit of God, just quicken us and help us to see the urgency and the issues that are about us are really spiritual. We are in a spiritual battle in this nation. And Father, I pray that you would bring revival among your people in Christ's name. Amen. I look at Isaac, and I see some similarities between Isaac and particularly Bible-believing people. For instance, he had a godly heritage. He was the son of Abraham. Abraham was a friend of God. I mean, what a heritage he had. And the heritage is wonderful, but you can't stop with that. And sometimes the second or the third generation doesn't pick up the baton and run. And it's wonderful to have a heritage. But sometimes that heritage is not passed on or that heritage is not embraced. And so we see that Abraham was a man who dug these wells, and Abraham built altars. This morning I talked about some of the altars that Abraham had built to worship God. And if you read the scriptures up to this point, we don't see any altars being built. Now, he may have, but there's none recorded in scripture. No altars being built, nothing done for God. And so Isaac here, though he had a great heritage, doesn't do anything for God. Doesn't look like he's walking with God. And so we sing that song, Faith of Our Fathers. We got to have your own faith. But do we have, and that's why I'm so excited about young people. That's why I'm so excited about you over here. That's why I'm so excited about young people who, and as I talk to them, I just sense a genuineness that thrills my soul. Because it's one thing to have the heritage. It's another thing to have your own faith and to move forward in that. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. I tell you, I appreciate young people who love the Lord. Now, if you look back in verse 6, he lived in a place, Gerar, that was a barren land. It was dry and it was arid, and Isaac had been blessed of God. We read that, how he had been blessed of God, but he found himself in a very dry, desert place. And he needed something. These wells we're talking about in a minute were stopped up. And I'll tell you what, we've got to be careful that we don't get in a barren place, a dry place, spirits in our churches. And one of the things I tell our church back home, I say, God deliver me from getting the routine. God deliver me from becoming mechanical. God deliver me from going through the motions. And if we're not careful, we can be there. We just go through it. And I think that's one of the things that has caused some churches to lose their young people because they see maybe in adults, they believe the right things, they have the right doctrine, they have the right lifestyle, but there's not life there. There's not vibrancy. So it's exciting to see people excited about Christ. I'm not talking about swinging from the chandelier. I'm talking about some life. Not just going through motions. And one of the things I just constantly check with our church and myself, am I just in the routine here? How's my walk? Is it real? Is it vibrant? And we sing about it being that way, but do we live that way? And I'll tell you what, worst place to get in a Christian's life, and I find this true, is a place of barrenness and dryness and routine and nothing happening. And so Isaac needed some. He needed well water, but they're all stopped up. And he needed not only a well, but he needed an altar. The wells are out of commission. There's no altar built. He needs both of these in his Christian, in his life, and so do we. So we need to do some digging. Maybe you do too. We need to do some building. Some digging and some building. And so that's the need that I think of many believers today. They need to dig out the wells, and they need to build the altar. They really do. So let's look at that tonight, this matter of digging and building. If you look in verses 14 through 16 again, you'll see the ruin of the wells. The wells were ruined by the enemy there. He had great possession of flocks and possession of herds and great store of the servants. Philistines envied him for all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father. Philistines stopped them and filled them with earth. Well, it's important. The well is the source of water. And in that part of the world, you've got to have water because of the climate and because of the condition there. It's also a source of cleansing and refreshment. Boy, that makes me thirsty. Here's right here. This is water, and water is so important. I always feel guilty when I drink water up here in the pulpit. You guys preach, you ever feel guilty when you do that? But I get over it real quick, you know. So there you go. But all this talking about water is going to make me thirsty, so I'm going to get it ready right here. So there you go. And so pure water that had flowed one time, that had been available in those wells, no longer is available to him because those wells have been filled, we read here in our text. And these were wells that his father had dug. But that didn't help him now because they weren't available. And they were no help because they were filled with this earth and all stopped up. And so he had to have these wells dug out. And he did. And you see that. You see that. He, in our text, he goes and he digs these wells out, calls them the same name as his father had. And so this is a type of return. Digging out these wells so the water then is available. And that's a wonderful picture of God's Word. It's a wonderful picture of the Word of God. And when he had that water again available, John 15:3 says, "Now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." God's word refreshes, and it's essential. I talked about the importance of God's word this morning. It's essential to your spiritual life. It is. It's not a nice thing. It's a necessary thing. The word of God. It is. And in Old Testament times, when they would fill a well like that was like an act of war. That was a decoration of war. And so, like the Philistines, you know, there's warfare against the water of the Word. It really is in our world today and from our own flesh. And the water or the well has been covered. And you know when you need to go to the well every day. Probably in that land, they went to the well every day and pulled out the water, drank the water, and were refreshed by the water. But there's so many things today that are filling the wells and that are polluting the wells of God's water, the Word of God. For instance, sometimes I think we dilute the Word of God. You need to be careful that you don't substitute reading books about the book for the book. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can get in the habit of reading books about the book and not read the book. And I know Christian bookstores want you to. And I'm all for good books. I am. But if you're not careful, you're going to be reading books. You're not reading the book. And that dilutes. That's second or third hand. You need to go right to the source. You need to go to the well. You need to drink. You need to drink of the Word of God. You really do. Not sip. Just you Boy, I tell you, I get really thirsty a lot. And I'll just get one of those bottles of water. And my wife said, did you drink that whole thing? I said, I did. All by myself. I was so thirsty. It's gone. Already. We were eating today, and that lady had to just keep bringing that water. And I was the only one at the table today. I had two glasses. I don't know how that happened, but it did. I guess the Lord was looking out for me. But anyway, I had two glasses, and I kept those things going. I get so thirsty. I don't know what the issue is, but I wish I had that thirst for God's Word. Just take it in and drink it in. I talked about this morning about just taking a little bit to be inspired. But you need to intake. And you need to not just sip, but you need to take in the pure Word of God. And just like physically you need a certain amount of water each day, and doctors tell me, and the more water you take in, the better. Okay. Now, some of the doctors, the amount they tell you, I said, man, I'd be floating away or something. But anyway, the more you take in, the better. The more of God's Word you can take in, the better. The better. You need to go that well. You really do. How about the well in your life? Is it covered? Is it filled with earth? Do you need to redig? Do you need to make that thing available? Do you need to get that out? Then there's denial. Not only is there delusion, but sometimes there's denial. We're in a spiritual battle, and I know you know that. And all these events out in Texas, I know you've heard on the news, all the shouting back and forth, and people shouting things about Satan, blasphemous things about God. That just sort of capsulizes the spiritual battle we're in. God's Word's under attack, has been. But make sure that's not under attack in your life. Make sure that you're not denying the Word of God. And God's Word by the world is being discredited. But you know what? My flesh will seek to disobey the Word of God. Is that not a form of denial? When God's Word is clear and straight about something. And then I think our biggest challenge is being displaced. We convince ourselves that we don't have time. We're good at that. You know, I've got to do this. I've got to get it. I can't get up early. Or I don't have time in the morning. I don't have time. And so we convince ourselves we don't have time for God's Word. And so you're thirsty. Your soul is thirsty. And there's a dryness and there's a barrenness there. There is. You see, we can Twitter, we can Facebook, we can email, we can surf the web, we can text, we can watch TV, we can play electronic games. We can do all those things, but somehow we can't fit in God's Word in our day. And again, it is not nice, it is necessary, it is essential to your spiritual life. It really is. It really is. So for many people, the wells covered are filled with earth, just like Isaac. It had to be redug. Maybe you need to do that. Maybe you need to rediscover the importance of the Word of God. Now look at verse 18. There's a return to the well. There's a return. There's a redigging, but there's a return too. Verse 18. He said, Isaac digged again the wells of the water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father. The Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. So he's returning to these wells. He's going back to the wells his father had dug, the old paths. It's going back to the old way and the way of his father. The earth is dug out, and to receive that refreshing water again from that well. And that's so important. The old path, the old path, the old path of the Word of God. And returning to that. And that's what they did. Now, in verses 19 through 21, he returned, but there's resistance. From the Philistines, they resist that. Did you see it? And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found their well of spring water. And the herdman Gear did strive with Isaac's herdman, saying, the water is ours. And they called the name of it Essek because they strove with him. Digging more wells is a good thing. He dug, redug, and then he's digging more wells. More wells meant more water. And in that barren land, that's a good thing. Digging more wells is good in your spiritual life. Getting the Word of God's more. Important, very important. And so they're doing that. But these herdsmen didn't like this. And they didn't think they had any right to build more land more wells on their land. So when you try to dig and you try to draw more from the well of God's word, you're going to find opposition. You're going to find opposition. Opposition from without and opposition from within. And again, my greatest problem is me, in our own flesh, in our own sinful nature. And this world will try to keep us from this book. And so we have to be determined. We need to be determined to do that. And to dig again the wells and to get into the Word of God. Get in God's Word. And so look at verse 23. There's rebuilding and then there's a return again. In verse 23, he returned to Beersheba. He went out from thence to Beersheba. You know what Beersheba is? Well of promise. It means promise. And here's a well of pure water. And in fact, I'm told it's still in use today. And so this is a well that he goes back to. Abraham had sought the Lord at this well years and years earlier. And now Isaac is back at this well. And in Genesis 22:19, you'll see that. After the sacrifice at Mount Moriah, he went there to this well. So he's returning this place where he and his father have been close to the Lord. It's a return. It's a return. And so sometimes we need to return our relationship with Christ and our walk with Him by getting back in the Word of God. Is there a time when you are closer to the Lord than you are tonight? If you can say, yes, there was, you need to return. You do some returning to fellowship with your Lord. And the place, this was the place there that Abraham had seen the Lord, and this is a place that they returned to. And this is not just a geographical journey. This is not just a journey of a road. This is a journey of the heart for Isaac. And he came back to this place of fellowship. He's coming home. He's coming home. Maybe you need to come home. Maybe you need to come home back to a walk with Christ and fellowship with Him. And then I believe there was revival at the wall. Would you look at verse 24? And the Lord appeared unto him the same night, and he said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and will bless thee, and will multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. He builded an altar there, and he called upon the name of the Lord, and pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servants digged the well. And so, first of all, he received the word. And God met him there in that place when he was back in Beersheba. And God had been waiting for this. And here, Isaac's there, and God speaks to him. The Lord speaks to him. And what did he tell him? Did you see that? And he said, fear not. Fear not. We talked about that this morning. Fear not. He said, fear not, for I am with you. There's help there. And we don't need to live in fear, and we don't need to live in retreat. And then he said, fear not. One of the things that will happen when you get close to the Lord, that you'll be strengthened and encouraged. And there's no need to fear. You don't need to walk in fear. You need to walk in faith. Fear not. And I think that's a message that God wants to give to His people, is fear not. Some people are fearful today. Some people are fearful because of all the events out here. They say, oh, did you hear the news? This is happening, this is happening, this is happening. And they're fearful. You don't need to be fearful. God's sovereign. He is. You think all this stuff has caught him by surprise? Absolutely not. The world's been in rougher places. You remember Nineveh? Nineveh was a wicked city. And a reluctant evangelist went there. What happened? Great revival. You don't need to be fearful. Just be faithful. But God's people, because of the deluge of all the things that are happening through our government and society, we're almost becoming fearful. This is not a time to retreat. This is not a time to be fearful. This is a time to be faithful. This is a time to move out. This is a time to take the gospel. Have the answer. And I told our church, I said, well, all these things that are happening, this just makes our mission all the more important. Light shines brighter in darkness. And so don't be fearful about what's going on. Don't be fearful in the events and circumstances of your own life. Let the Lord encourage you. One of the things will happen when you get God's presence, especially if you've been away for a while and you let some things come between you and you've just been going through the routine, you will be encouraged. Sometimes you just need to get still and let God encourage you. When he's saying, fear not, what he's saying, nah, it's going to be okay. It's okay. It's okay. And sometimes, I don't know about you, maybe you're different than me, but sometimes I need to hear that. It's okay. It's going to be okay. You don't need to fear. It's going to be, your family's going to be okay. You're going to be okay. I'm going to take care of this. You know, when you're in God's presence, if you get still, our problem is this. We want Insta time. We want it. You know, I love grits, and I get teased about that in Illinois. But you know what? Instant grits are not the same as a real thing. You know that? It's a cheap imitation. You can tell. But we want, you know, these people, these Yankees or something, and they think they're making grits and they get this instant stuff. It's not it, and I know it. We want instant fellowship with Christ. We don't give him time. And the time we do give him is random. Our mind is like all over the place. If we would just get still and get in his presence, we wouldn't be near as fearful. And God's people are fearful. And so let him encourage you by being in his presence. That's what he said, fear not. Fear not. Look at the verse again. And he told him, he said, fear not, for I am with thee and will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. Fear not. That's help. Blessing's coming. That's hope. One of the things I tell people, I say, I'll tell you something. As a believer in Jesus Christ, there is always hope. Always. I said, no, preacher, there's no hope here. Yes, there is. I said, if I didn't believe there was hope, I wouldn't be preaching. We have a message of hope. So you don't know what I've done. There's hope. Preacher, what about my... There's hope. Here's hope. Always hope. And the world will try to tell you, and people will try to tell you, oh, there's no hope. But there is hope. There is. There is. And we need to hear these. We need to hear both of these things, that there's help there and there's hope there. And coming back to the Father and our relationship with him does that. And so the word was received. Now, I like verse 25. He built an altar there. Altar speaks of worship, speaks of sacrifice, it speaks of communion. Worship was his response. And he built an altar there. He's built an altar because he wants to worship God. He's heard from God, now he wants to worship him, he wants to adore him. And now we don't take wood or stone or some kind of material and build an altar today. But you know what? You build an altar in your heart. You really do. You really do. You bow your heart as well as your knees sometimes. And we run away from this idea of worship because we're afraid of it because it's been a word misused. We hear people throwing around worship, the word worship, got worship teams and worship experiences. The problem with that, most of those folks are worshiping worship. You know what I'm saying? They're worshiping worship. You have a worship experience. You don't need a worship experience. If you get in God's presence, you will worship. You can't help but worship him. You're not going to worship worship. I'll tell you what, you can get that. You can do that by creating a certain mood and certain emotions get going, and you take off. But the focus of that is not God himself. And so he needs, God, you remember what the Lord said, he seeks those who will worship him in spirit and truth. Do you really have personal worship? Does your God know you love him? We sing, oh, how I love Jesus, which is good. But you ever say that? You say, wow, should I do that? Absolutely. 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 Hold your place here in Genesis. Let's skip over to the Psalms, one of my favorite Psalms, Psalm 103. We want God to bless us, and He wants to bless us. But let me ask you this, are you a blessing to Him? I think Job was a man that was a blessing to God. Abraham, called by God Himself, a friend. Friends are a blessing. And the psalmist said here, David says, bless the Lord. He's not saying, Lord, bless me. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, forgetting all of His benefits. Bless the Lord. Be a blessing to Him. That's one of the reasons we gather today on first day, is to worship, to be a blessing to Him. And not just to get, but to give, yes, to each other, but to give praise to Him, to give honor to Him, to give glory to Him, because He's worthy. We need to do that corporately, but you need to do it privately. You need to do it individually. And Isaac here built an altar. We need some altar. We need to dig the well so we can get the Word of God. Let God speak to us. We need to get in His presence. But we need to build an altar too. We need that place of worship. How many Christians really, really are close to God? How many Christians really walk with God? How many preachers do? Really? And they seek His face. And they commune with Him. And the altar speaks of communion. And he called on the Lord. It said he built it. Look at that. He built an altar, verse 25, there, and called upon the name of the Lord. That speaks of communion. And worship produces that communion with Him. Oh, it's so important. So important that you're there with Him. Every year, Brother Larry Coons, who does the Neighborhood Bible Time, he has me come preach to the guys for a couple of days. And I was so impressed with these young men who are going out. And some of you have done that, I think, Neighborhood Bible Time. But I preached, and Brother Coons said, you know, you go get along with the Lord. And they did. And they got on their face before God, and they just touched my heart. And I mean, they literally did. He said, oh, how we need that. How I need that. That communion. And it said, so he built, then there's a communion there that he had with the Lord, and he pitched his tent, last part of verse 25, there, and there Isaac's servant digged a well. So he dwelt there. And he's going to make this his dwelling place. He's not just going to visit, he's going to dwell. He's got a tent there. He digged the well, and so he's going to take water out of that well, and he's going to dwell there. And he's going to live in the shadow and the influence of that altar. And there he has a well there. And so here we see again the importance of the Word of God. A well was dug. So what do you need to do? What do you need to do tonight? Is the well, the water of the Word, not present in your life? Or are you just getting the water secondhand? Nobody wants secondhand water, okay? If I drink out of this water, nobody's going to come after me. Okay, we don't want that. You need to go right at the source. You need to get, maybe your well is covered. Maybe there's earthing. You need to redig that. You need to get in God's Word. Then you need an altar. You need an altar in your life. You really do. Because you see, the altar is a place of communion, but it's also a place of contrition. It's communion, but it's also contrition. I think of Isaiah as he saw the Lord in the 6th chapter, high and lifted up. How little do we see Him high and lifted up in our own heart, in our own mind. So the altar needs to be built. So where are you at in your Christian life? Are you taking water from the well? Are you being a blessing to the Lord, your Savior, by your worship of Him? He wants that, you know. He really does. And He is worthy. He is worthy of that. Worship comes from the Anglo-Saxon word worth-ship. He is worthy of that. And I trust that you will give him what he's worthy of. Let's pray together.